right, welcome to Adventure Guys, the podcast for humans and dogs. I'm Eric the Human.
I'm Nick the Human. And Eric, vamp for a little bit. I gotta get this like fleece. It's a little chilly. I'm gonna get this like jacket.
Okay. Yeah. So it is probably only like a week or less since our last posted episode, but it is like a freaking month since the last time we recorded because it took me forever to edit that one.
Yeah.
I'll have you know, I did not yet beat Super Mario RPG.
Oh no.
I am close. Maybe tonight I'll finish Bowser's Keep, and then I just have to do like Smithy's whole final stage.
Mm.
But I'm going just a bit at a time. I'm not like binging like a 9-hour Super Mario RPG day.
That sounds healthy, dude. Speaking of binging, I really want to binge drink tonight. I don't think I'm gonna.
Said the 35-year-old.
Yeah, I'm 4.
34-year-old.
Oh yeah, I don't think you age out of wanting to drink a lot of alcohol. Like, I think you know your hangovers get worse, and you go, I don't think I want to do that much, but it's still fun. It's always going to be fun.
I guess I have to wake up tomorrow early again. Woke up today early. Mm-hmm. Do these kids shows, these Taylor Swift tribute kids shows.
Oh, I didn't realize it was Taylor Swift.
Yeah, well, normally we do Sunday morning shows, and tomorrow sold out because it's Taylor Swift. So they added today, 2 days in a row.
Mm.
I still haven't seen the Eras Tour film.
DVD or whatever, yeah. DVD. But you're mouthing in. Neither by, is it streaming yet?
I don't know. I don't think it's in theaters anymore, or not most theaters anyway.
Yeah, now that you got the Beyonce one out, that was really big.
Right.
I'd like to watch both of those.
Yeah.
But I haven't yet. That'd be fun.
So are they, I almost went to go see the Beyonce movie the other night. I had the night free. Oh, after we what did we do? We planned guitar tracking the other day.
Yeah.
I thought about going to see that, but I went shoe shopping instead. But are they doing this purposefully where they only have one showing per day and it's like 8 o'clock at night?
Hmm.
It's like just one, like to make it like it's a actual show.
I don't know. We could look.
Did the Taylor Swift movie have multiple showtimes? It seemed like...
I'd imagine. I mean, in order to have like... broken as many records and like it was number one in the box office, it would have to have multiple screenings.
I guess, but I can see like the appeal for making it like an actual concert, like one 8 o'clock show every night. Mm-hmm. And that way you get all your people there at the same time and they make it more like a concert experience.
That's what they're doing here. But yeah, no, there's Kips Bay, there's 4 showings today, 3 here, 2. Yeah. They're doing a bunch of them, but I like that. I mean, I bet it's a theater, could be a theater decision.
Yeah.
Based on demand and stuff too. But they're doing it. They're just doing a bunch of them. I like that idea though. It's gotta be based on Talking Heads. I think only have like 1 or 2 a day, but I also have to imagine that it's like based off of, historical demand for concert. Is this still in theaters? Theater. Let's see if the Taylor Swift one's still in theaters, still going. They're just doing one a day now. But yeah, I mean, to get to the scale of the amount of money that Taylor Swift, let's go to Box Office Mojo and see what Taylor Swift's tour made. Oh yeah, there's Beyonce's going to be number one. Was number one last weekend in the box office above Hunger Games. Let's see what Taylor Swift. I'm just surprised. I really am surprised that people... like want to go that much to see it in a theater. To that level. I mean, obviously people are going to want to go, but to like number one is kind of crazy to me. Cause it's just like live, like concert footage of these artists is so available.
Yeah.
that it's kind of crazy that people are into it, but I like it. I dig it. Yeah. I mean, the Taylor Swift movie has now made, where's the total? Oh yeah, 92 million opening weekend.
Quarter billion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 178 million domestically.
Isn't it like self-distributed?
Hers was, yeah.
Yeah, right? Because like, I think she shopped it to studios and they passed for whatever reason. So she's making all of that fucking money back herself.
Huh. I thought that she chose to go independent. I didn't realize that they passed. I thought it was like a deliberate choice to like they were like, we can make way more money and we don't need a studio to promote this. If Taylor Swift promotes this, people will go. Oh wow. Her tour grossed over $1 billion. It was the first ever tour. Wow. Yeah, I wonder. Yeah, I don't know. Well, we can look into that, how it happened. But very cool. Yeah, I should go watch that. Yeah, what else is new, Eric?
I don't know. We did those Hold Steady shows. Mm-hmm. We got Gogol Bordello coming up.
Nice. That's fun. I went to Toronto on tour with Portugal the Man. And they're Adventure Time fans. They're John Gourley and Zoe and their daughter Frances all love watching Adventure Time. They posted about it today. Go check out franceschangedmylife.com or whatever. It was fun. We got to get it. Eric is still down to come on the podcast. We have a lot of guests that are down to come on the podcast. We just have to get our act together. Although it can't be that hard to do, like, dude, like all sorts of like bullshit podcasts do it over Zoom and are getting video of it. I'm like, we could definitely figure this out. We just have to. Yeah, there are lots of good people we could get. If there's anyone you guys want to hear on the podcast, you know, didyousee@gmail.com with guest ideas. I'd love next year, New Year's resolution to get back on the guest stuff.
Yeah, let's get Chris Farron on.
I'm down. We can just email him.
Or we could.
Or just DM him. Yeah. I think if we get a couple other folks and pick up some steam, it'll help with our pitch. So let's do it.
Do you think 2024 is the year we get the Back to the Island finale?
That hasn't happened. I don't keep up with Back to the Island. But I know that they are, they're holding the last episode. Is that what it is?
Yeah. Well, the first episode.
Oh, okay. Because they're out of, so they have to do a live. Is that the idea?
Yeah.
That'd be cool. I'd go see it.
I think they were approaching it over the pandemic. And then they were like, we can't do this until we can do it live. And now it's, you know, there's been several Jeff and Chris tours since live things have come back and we don't have a Back to the Island finale yet.
It's on Spotify and stuff, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I should check it out. That'd be fun. Yes, to see they covered the Batman. But that was like a long time ago. It was like a year ago. And then, wow, they haven't done many episodes in the last, coming up on 3 years.
Yeah. They started doing the Batwoman series. I think they did 3 episodes and then they never followed up.
That's funny. Cool. Yeah. Let's just go into the episode.
Okay.
Episode discussion.
All right. Fiona and Cake, season 1, episode 10, the season finale.
Yes.
Possibly at the time it aired, could have been the series finale.
Yeah. At the time it aired, we would have probably presumed series finale unless told otherwise. But since we've waited so long to do this, we now know that it was a season finale because they just announced season 2.
What was the name of this episode? Cheers?
Oh, yeah, I think so, yeah. Fiona and Cake at 10. Man, I'm low energy. Yep, cheers. Cool. I mean, I'll say that there was satisfying parts of this finale, but a lot of it I just didn't enjoy that much.
I will say that since I watched it the first time when it aired, and now that's been, what, like almost 2 months?
Mm-hmm.
I liked it a lot more at this time.
Mm-hmm.
on my first viewing, I was like a little, oh, that's how it's ending. Okay. For some parts, a lot of it I did love, but this time I liked it more. I think I understood it more. I felt like the characters, where they wound up, was more natural than I felt about it the first time.
Yeah, I get that. I'll tell you what this is my first viewing of it. I was live commenting. I was writing down. I wrote, what is this intro once those two characters, what are their name again?
Casper and Nova.
Yeah. I hate them. I wish this was never in the whole episode. I hate the blob and the rodent, Shermie and whatever. That shit sucks. I wrote, what is this? I said, what is this intro? It must be a book or a game. And then it was a book. And I wrote, I hate this. I want to zone out. Don't zone out. And I did, like you said, if you're not enjoying playing this game, you're allowed to stop, which was fun. And then Choose Goose came and did some dumb shit. And I was just like, I'm having trouble paying attention to this. I hated it. I hated all the Casper and Nova stuff. I was like, this is what other people feel like when they watch cartoons or sci-fi shit. We were just like, what is this? Why is this happening? Why is the animation different?
I think I felt that way.
Why does it look like this?
The first time I watched it, but this time, well, because,
and also it's the finale, and I'm like, this happened. They've done this before. Maybe it was stuff, but you're in the finale. I'm like, I don't want to be spending time with these new ass characters you just introduced like an episode ago. Like, I don't fucking care. Give me like Fiona and Cake. I've developed relationships. Give me fucking Marshall Lee. Give me all the things, and like let's like, I want to like, and the Scarab and Prisma. I want to like, I want to have a fun wrap up. And it's like, we're burning minutes on this.
I know. I did feel like that the first time I watched it, but the thematic payoff of who Casper and Nova wind up being, I think is worth it. However, there's no way to know that it's worth it until after it already happens. So like, I remember watching episode 9 from our last pod and knowing like the metaphor that Casper and Nova is, they were starting to thread it in on the previous episode. And I was like, oh, I see that. Okay, cool. They're like laying the groundwork here. And then they open this episode. It is a little bit weird, but it all like really lines up once they finally hit that payoff. It just, if you don't know what's happening, like I think it required more listener trust than maybe or more viewer trust than the audience deserved.
Yeah, and I like, well, sure, but like it's like a hard thing where it's like, so as I was watching it, I was literally like, I like really hate this, because so that's going on, then we like come back and now the Scarab's loose in Fiona world and is going, and I'm like, okay, what the fuck is the Scarab's deal? We've been doing this. He's been chasing him all series. We're getting little bits and like the backstory of like, what is this like organization that he's a part of and the bureaucracy, and like, okay, we're gonna figure out. And at this point I'm like, man, he's destroying this world that we like, that we love. Like, I liked the Fiona and Cake world, probably that was like my favorite part of this whole series. He's destroying it. And we still don't have any fucking motivation for what's going on. I was like, I've had it. I was like, tell me why he's doing this. Give me more. I'm like, first off, I have to deal with these stupid ass characters. Now, like, the Scarab's still just doing his dumb ass shit. I'm like, please somebody tell me what is going on. I was like start paying some shit off, because I've been pretty patient. And, you know, they don't really ever pay off the Scarab, in my opinion. This is my take on the Scarab. So they get the his like crystal, and in there he's like, you know, trapped all these different people in eggs, and Cake starts like blowing them up, and they're released, and they all start revealing why they were put in these eggs, and it was all for these incredibly minor offenses. Like, yeah, playing a PC game on work time. Yeah. What was one of the other ones?
Stealing
office supplies. It's like super, super lame. And then there's the Loving Island of Insight, that guy who gets released. That was a crazy thing. And he just kills it immediately. And so what that all illustrated to me and eventually illustrates, and then at the end, once Fianna Cake are legitimized, he's like, you think you've won, but now you're going to get hit with the bad things, like, as well as good things. You were in here where nothing mattered and you were protected, and now the bad things. Not really true, because Cake was dealing with the existential enormities that would plague anybody in the real life. So I'm not, it didn't exactly line up, but okay, I understand his point. And now he's saying, now you're going to get hit with all the real stuff and the bad things that could happen. What I take from the scarab is, like, now I would have liked there to be some sort of, like, flashback to the scarab's origin or something. Like, they could have done just like a quick cut to baby scarab or something. Like, he could have been losing his mind. Okay, well, first off, so what I think happened is that the scarab, what he does is, he seems like a very intent on the rules of the world and the rules that have been laid down. Like, he's like a cop. He's like a narc. He's a lawyer. He's like, keeping, these are the rules. And if you are not going by the rules, you deserve to be punished. And he's taking it really far, because it's like, it seems to be like, that's how he makes sense of the world. That's how he lives in this world. And it would lead me to believe that somebody imprinted that on him, or the world treated him in such a manner where he broke the rule at some point. He was hardcore punished. This is how you have to live in this world. Now, right? Because there's some motivation that we don't even get what the true motivation is behind the scare. It's like, why do you give a shit if this guy was scaring supplies or Prismo's like doing some shit? Like, this doesn't affect you. But in him, he's like, no, all the rules must be followed, right? So I guess for me, it's like, oh, the bad things in the world have happened to him, probably because of order, and now he is trying to uphold that order because that's how he's framed the world, or the world has treated him. I would have liked to have gotten, what I would have done is, like, have Cake do some shit to the scarab, and the scarab, like, head gets knocked, is in some sort of, like something happens, and the scarab's, like, having a delusional thing and is like, no, like, Papa, stop, no, Papa, or, like, to, like, start saying something, and then we get a flashback to, like, a little baby scarab or a child scarab who's, like, doing something naughty, like, you know what I mean, is like at recess and then, like, steals the cupcake, and they're like, and his, like, dad, like, zaps him in the cupcake and is like, oh, order, and then, like, you would have been like, oh, okay, cool, like, yeah, like, he was fucking abused and or whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So
what do you make of the scarab?
Adventure Time is well known for having one of the most, you know, thoughtful villain redemption arcs of all time.
Uh-huh.
In the Ice King. So much so that now he's the main character of this show, basically. Yep. One of the main characters. And the scarab as a villain is not quite as convincing.
Or fleshed out.
Yeah, and, you know, they're asking you to just accept, like, this is the bad guy, and yeah, he wants to do bad guy things, and the heroes have to beat him. And yes, it's disappointing that there's not more to that character. There's not a lot. I mean, there really isn't any character development, I guess. There's certainly no backstory.
What's the motivation? It's like
I agree. It would have been great, maybe if this was like a 12 episode series where we had some more insight into the scarab's past, and something that would have been well worth the payoff. That I think, I mean, you know, now we're trying to rewrite the show, but I think, yes, what you're saying, like, yeah, show the example of, like, where the scarab chose chaos instead of order. And,
or he's choosing order. It's in such a way that is now chaotic. Like, he's taken following order to such a degree that it is no longer logical.
You show the event from his past where he didn't choose order, and someone got hurt because of that.
Oh, right. And in, like, the past, and that's why he's so fixated on order now.
Yeah. Like, I think, yes, I think it would be, it could have been a really awesome payoff moment, because, like, boiling simmering in the background of this whole show is, like, the origin story of Simon and Betty. Mm-hmm. And we really get that payoff in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
And we see how, you know,
best part of the episode.
Yeah. We see how Simon's choices, well, maybe not even necessarily his fault. And they say, you know, Beth says that, like,
we made our choices.
Yeah. It's like his choices affected their relationship and ultimately turned Betty into the god of chaos. Right. It would have been very thematically satisfying if, parallel to that story, the scarab, we get some sort of insight into the scarab's past, where the scarab, whether it was a lover or a friend or someone that he had a relationship with, did the opposite, right? Where, like, they were too carefree, yes, too chaotic, and because of the choices, yeah, that they made, like, that other person that he had a relationship with got hurt,
yeah,
somehow, and forced him on the path of pure order.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm getting at. Like, okay, I like that. That's better than being punished as a child. Mine was like more comedic or lighthearted. Yours is like, yours would make way more sense, where it's like almost like a cop in the line of duty, like one of those tropes where it's like the partner got killed and now he sees everything differently, you know?
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of a missed opportunity
to
dig deeper into like the theme of order versus chaos, because
yeah,
it's clearly the bad guy's motivation is you have to follow the rules, you have to do the thing that's ordered, and then you have this looming like thing in the background, like, oh yeah, Simon's dead girlfriend is now the god of chaos, like, and they never really play those two things off of each other, and
I
think they could have.
That's big. Yeah, that's really good. I think it's a big missed opportunity. I think it's a giant missed opportunity to like spend so much time with the scarab and not develop, and that's just like not an Adventure Time thing. That's what sets the show apart, and then just pisses me off that, like, you know, the scarab dies, like maybe it'll come back and we'll see some shit, but like presumably the scarab is dead by what we've learned, and we never...
No, I mean, the scarab is helping out Prismo now.
Oh right, I forgot.
That's his little redemption arc, which is kind of boring.
Yeah, it is. It is boring. And it's like, yes, that was lame, but whatever. So then it's like, I'm getting pissed off. Then when the episode continues and we go back to the fucking Casper Nova, I'm like, Jesus Christ. Like, I'm like ready to turn it off. But then this is where the payoff comes in, and it comes back, and we realize the Simon and Betty stuff. Now, that Betty had to made a lot of sacrifices for Simon, and now clearly in like her trying to save Simon and then ultimately becoming Golb, but then also in the before times, like when they were still just, you know, in regular Earth times, and they followed his whims to find the Enchiridion and not keeping it on par with what her interests were, and they could have, and they play out a memory where instead of like her abandoning what she was going to do to help him, he could have gone with her, since they literally had just done his thing. It's like, then they could have, yeah, done her thing, yeah, then they could have said, like, that is totally what could have happened. And I thought that was great and resonant and really, really awesome. And I understand, you know, I think there's a meta thing at play here with choosing to do it through Casper and Nova, because it's like, he couldn't figure this out, but through a story, he is able to see it and understand it, which is like, it's the power of story. And we're watching a story. So maybe what we're absorbing from the show, especially this, is like this is a cool theme that really isn't explored that much in like television. Like, right? It's like, what is it to be a good partner? It's like this give and take, prioritizing the other person over yourself. And then like that, like, that's a very cool thing. And maybe somebody else could watch a story and take it from themselves, just as Simon has read this story and is now taking for himself. It's also insane because he wrote the story,
yeah,
that he's seeing. So it's like, he wrote this at some point, maybe like he was going to realize it later on.
Well, it's
subconscious.
It's circular.
Yeah.
Like, he will write it now that he knows
write
it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But it is circular, but it is kind of fucked, because it's like, in order for that to be true, at some point he had to realize it on his own without reading the story, in order for the story to have been created the first time, but it doesn't actually work that way.
Like the grandfather paradox.
Yeah.
Time travel. Yeah.
Yes. It's a paradox.
Which I love. I've said it before, I'll say it again. I love time travel stories. I think it's rad that they introduced that here. And they didn't really lean on it as a device, mm-hmm. except as like, we did touch on it on our last episode, that it's like a nice little wink at the established rules of jumping multiverses to then jump time periods in a familiar universe.
Yeah. So that was cool. I like that.
I think the story within a story thing, this whole Casper Nova, like the themes would have been more, I wouldn't say obvious, but maybe more interesting if we had been building towards that on a parallel storyline with the villain of the series as well. And you could compare it, and you would like it, maybe you'd have more immediate trust to like go with this thing for a few minutes, like out of nowhere, if it had been set up a little bit earlier than in just like the last episode, if you saw it from like another character's perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I guess I was going to say is that's totally true, is that you know, the payoff was worth it, and because it was a great payoff, right? This is a very funny thing I think about something like that, where the payoff is worth it, right? But you go, how worth it was? It's like, but I didn't enjoy the ride of this episode to the payoff. So it's like, yes, I love this moment and I'm glad that we're getting it, but I didn't like the ride here. So that feels a little bit like a miss. Like, you have to enjoy the ride to the payoff a little bit. And like, I was enjoying this fucking scarab shit and I didn't get a payoff and that pissed me off. But like, this was like, I'm not enjoying this Casper Nova ride at all. And then, oh, okay, now there's a good payoff. Okay, like, whatever, I guess.
Yeah, it, you know, maybe so much of the charm of Adventure Time, the original series, all 10 seasons of it, is that you didn't ever watch expecting a payoff, because it was just little 11-minute episodes and things were rarely cliffhangered into the next one. When you did get a payoff, it could be seasons later on something.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're tasked with more or less doing a complete series in 10 episodes. And they're 10 double-sized episodes. So it's, I mean, basically 20 episodes of Adventure Time to tell a beginning-to-end story. That was never Adventure Time's strength.
Yeah.
And Fiona and Cake is strongest, I think, when it gets into a rhythm of, hey, there's something different happening every episode. Like, you're in a different multiverse. You're seeing different characters. Maybe these writers just aren't, like, they weren't as perfectly suited to a 10-episode beginning and ending arc than they were, like, to...
What do you do? How do you do Adventure Time where there's not supposed to be payoffs in a format where people are now going to be expecting payoffs?
Yeah.
Is, like... hard.
It's like you're adapting this medium that in a way that it wasn't really ever meant for. So I think, well, I mean, we'll see where it goes, but they've certainly figured something out, and they did tell a compelling story for a lot of these characters.
Yeah.
So season two, we'll see what happens. It could be something totally different. It could be a continuation. Adamuto said it might be like anthology sort of formatted, where it's like just like it's another series entirely with completely different characters. But I think like the Simon and Betty story of this of these 10 episodes was great. It really complemented everything that we had from the original series, and for maybe a few minutes of suspending disbelief, right, like and trusting, like at the beginning of this episode, like it was very compelling. Same thing with Fiona and Cake's storyline. You know, these two, and this is saying that Betty is a main character. You've got these two pairs of main characters, Fiona and Cake, Simon and Betty. They each have great stories, satisfying in almost every single way. I would even say that Gary and Marshall Lee have a really great arc.
Mm-hmm.
But then all the other characters sort of get swept up in this. And for, yeah, a character like Scarab, who is as present as he is, he does not have a compelling arc.
No.
So, yeah, that's just one of the casualties, I guess, of this short form format.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how they choose to go. And like, yeah, and it's like, okay, so this, if it's anthology and Simon and Betty was like a awesome, like bedrock, like for this, like the foundation of this whole series, like what would be a good one for the next one? You know, I wonder if it, like they wouldn't want to, I was like, you could, you know, a fan favorite would be like a, like, Marceline, Bubblegum, or even just Marceline in general, but like that kind of is close to Simon and they already kind of hit that on Distant Lands. I wonder if they would go for something different that they haven't touched.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, you know, we've talked about just choosing Fiona and Cake seemed a little bit left field.
Yeah.
And I mean, they surprised us and they did something really compelling with those characters, but also they use it as sort of like a backdoor entry to a really compelling Simon story as well.
I know, you know, it does really open up, but you could, at that point, it's like we could get a Peppermint Butler, like could be super present. Like, you know, it's like, yeah, Fiona and Cake and Choose Goose being three of the most like, like characters that show up the most in this thing, is like, and it worked so well. You never would have called that.
Yeah. I mean, what characters haven't we explored yet post Adventure Time? Because we've gotten out of our Distant Land specials, we got a Finn and Jake, we got a BMO, we got a PB and Marcy, mm-hmm. and we got a Peppermint Butler,
mm-hmm.
and then we just got,
oh man, the Peppermint Butler is a bummer. Yeah, and then we just got
Fiona and Cake and Simon and Betty.
So like, and we, and you know, and like they really did some cool lich shit in this.
Yeah, and the lich was in Distant Lands also.
Mm-hmm. And the Death World was in, because that was in Distant Lands, which would be a cool thing to explore. I know. Then you start thinking about, it's like Mr. Fox, Abercdaniel, and like then you go into, there's like so many minor characters that you,
I mean,
start.
They brought both those characters in Distant Lands too, and yeah. This was the cool thing about like the Adventure Time series and then Distant Lands expanding on it, like, you know, all of the minor characters had something fleshed out about their story. There were characters, of course, we wanted more, but I don't think there were characters that ever seemed terribly incomplete, no. Like the Scarab does.
Yeah. I wonder what else. What were some other characters that they could or should?
Billy.
Oh, yeah.
Billy. It'd have to be like prequel.
Yeah. Tree Trunks.
Tree Trunks. Well, we're not going to get more Tree Trunks.
Oh, right. Yeah.
They I don't think they would ever recast Polly Lou.
No. I know we got Prismo in this one. Like Prismo would be a really good bedrock for a future, but we did just kind of get a lot of Prismo.
Yeah, who was Billy's girlfriend? I forget her name. She is still alive and out there and doing shit. That could be a fun minor character to get into some adventures with.
Lou Ferrigno is Billy.
Yeah. Yeah, he's awesome. Canyon. Yeah, what has she been up to? She was only in the one episode, is that right?
Let me see. Canyon Height. And she's in two. Oh, Akko Casuera was the voice. At least two episodes.
Because after Billy gets murdered by the Lich, I think like Finn and his girlfriend Canyon try to like go through his bucket list and complete the things that Billy never got to do.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
But then she kind of just pieces out and does her own thing.
I'm just looking here like major characters. I mean,
yo, something with the lemon grabs might be interesting. Maybe more on the lemon hope.
Oh yeah.
Side.
I was wondering like Jake and his children.
Yeah, I mean, I posed that question, like, what characters would we want to see more of? And Jake immediately came to mind, but I feel like Jake is pretty well developed.
Yeah, I know.
And I don't know what else you could really do with that character, but his kids are actually a great opportunity for that. And we get a little bit of, we get an appearance of Bronwyn as an adult in, in Obsidian at the very end. She's just there. She doesn't have a speaking role, but She's a punk rock skateboarder.
I've got a list of minor characters here.
doing something with like the whole Jake's kids, the pup mythology could be interesting. I mean, there is room. I mean, obviously we're not like, you know, television writers. I'm sure the people that worked on this show for a decade, like have
ideas,
unending ideas.
Yeah. Yeah. God, there's just so many characters. It's like, as soon as you start getting into it, you can really come up with something cool.
This is truly the Neil Gaiman Sandman concept of like, don't tell a story, don't create a universe, don't create characters, create a framework in which to tell any story, in which any character can be involved.
Yeah.
They really did that.
I know, they can even get, you know, Hot Dog Princess showing up and doing something really important. Like, anything's possible.
Slime Princess. I love Slime Princess.
Yeah, Slime Princess is cool.
Yeah, anything with the elementals.
Yeah.
There's plenty of lore to explore there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think we'll be disappointed.
No. Did you see the snail?
No, I did not see the snail. Nick, did you see the snail?
No. All right, cool. Let's move up. Before we move on, if you are enjoying this podcast, give us 5 stars, please, on whatever app you're listening to. You can follow us, Adventure Guys Podcast, on Instagram, Adventure Guys NY on Twitter. We're on YouTube, Adventure Guys Podcast. If you go to anchor.fm/Adventure Guys Podcast, we'll be taken to our page where you can give us a little bit of money each month. Like a Patreon style thing, which, you know, there's a bunch of people who are doing that, and we thank you because we're putting that money to use. Send this, you know, if you want to talk to us, didgyouseethemail@gmail.com. Oh, there was something I wanted to tell people. Oh, and then like in this segment or even earlier, like if you ever wanted to do some advertising for a podcast, a band, a business, whatever you have, we're open to doing that. Hit us up at didyouseethemail@gmail.com. We'll plug whatever your thing is, or we can trade plugs. That's cool. So, you know, I don't know. We're around. Hit us. Miscellanea Mania. There's things you may not know. Those Eric and Nick will show you all the trivia in Miscellanea Mania. All right. Not Miscellanea. Well, let's start Miscellanea. We can do stray observations later. You know, it's named Cheers. It's the last episode. It makes sense. But they didn't do anything with. We didn't really super pay off the Cheers stuff, did we? And the song, and Cheers itself. Like, you know, they did within the series, they did play with it. But I just mean in this episode, choosing to title it this.
Yeah. Also, the only title without a character's name.
Yeah.
It's weird.
It is weird. The World of Water Park Prank makes an appearance when he's hopping. Water Park Prank. I don't remember that episode.
Oh. That's one of the guest animator episodes.
Oh, okay.
I think it might be the least well received of like the guest episodes.
Interesting.
It's a weird one.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll get to it.
Eventually, we will get to everything.
And I'm seeing mention of a deleted scene here. And I'm trying to see, like, it seems like there's some deleted scenes. But I'm trying to find where people have found them. Yeah, there's some different Fiona and Cake deleted scenes, it looks like, I guess from the storyboards. If we were better at this, we would already known about that. But I don't know why I'm like so not that interested in Miscellanea Mania anymore. Like, this is kind of like where we should like really be shining as a podcast.
Well, because we've done this
so many times.
This new series uninterrupted for 10 episodes, and like there's not years worth of trivia built up. We should have done a BMO episode last week.
No, we had to finish this.
Now season two is going to happen. We're going to have to do 10 more episodes in a row.
Yes.
Breaking the whole format of this podcast.
Of no format.
Breaking the format by establishing a format.
Yeah.
We're so basic. Fucking hate going in order, following the rules.
Do you want to talk about anything?
You're being such a scarab, Nick.
this was the right decision. I mean, we're gonna be off course.
Nobody's listening anymore anyway.
I mean, we haven't posted an episode in a month and a half.
People stopped listening once this finale aired.
Yeah. I know. Well, we talked about doing doubling up episodes. That would have been the right thing to do. Next time it happens, we'll have to do that. We'll have to just really rage keep up with them.
So much.
What? Doing that?
Yeah.
I know. Well, I didn't want to do it either.
Depends when that season comes out.
And where we are in our lives.
If it's a September, we'll be just as fucked.
Yeah, we'll see what's going on. Yeah, I don't know. There's some good shit to look at, but I don't care anymore. I think we're done. I did like that Marc Maron came back as Squirrel. I think he deserves an Emmy. I don't know. Is there any other, like, him as Squirrel, the way Squirrel's animated and his voice are just so jarring and entertaining. I'm like, is there something else analogous, like, experience to Squirrel like this?
I don't know.
In like cartoon history, like I'm really like, I guess there's guest voices like on other cartoons that are really like this, but Squirrel just really hits for me. We should get it'd be great to get Marc Maron on the podcast.
Does he do other people's podcasts?
Yeah. I mean, not ones as small as ours, but he does lots of other podcasts. Comedians. He was in. Was he Squirrel in the original one?
Yeah.
Yes and no. Am I allowed to leave the tree? No. Have I already left the tree? Am I miles away from the tree? Right.
His voice sounds different. Like it sounds like he's a little higher pitched as the original voice of Squirrel. Right.
Maybe.
Yeah. All right, so Eric, since we got your wish and this shit's over, do you want to pick an episode for next time?
Oh boy, we're gonna pick an episode.
Yeah, episode generator
for the first time in freaking months.
Yeah,
I don't even remember how to do this. I'm gonna Google random number generator.
There you go.
What are we gonna watch next week?
Episode 225.
The Thin Yellow Line. It's a season finale of episode of season 7.
Okay. The Thin Yellow Line.
Yeah. We've not done it.
Season 7 finale.
Yeah. Season 7, episode 26. There's a conspiracy theory after infiltrating the Banana Guard ranks. What the fuck is this?
Were you getting Jake? Were you getting Banana Guards? It's been a long time.
I know. We'll be right back at it. Cool. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed the Fiona and Cake saga. We almost got pretty on topic there for a while, and we were consistent for like 5 or 6 weeks in a row. That was pretty cool. I know Ringo was happy. If anyone else has feedback, you know, email us. Did you see the mail at gmail.com? I hope you have a good week. Yeah, I don't know. Anything else to say? What's this? Is that Skid Row?
Yeah, this is Sean.
Oh, yeah. He's working Skid Row at El Rey tonight. Go to the El Rey and say hi to Sean.
Or this is at the Fonda.
Oh, it's right. The Fonda, yeah. I'm going to LA around New Year's to hang out with Sean. If anyone's around and wants to see us or whatever, or has good LA recommendations. I think we want to go to we're gonna go hang out in all around LA. Let's get a lay of the land. We don't have any emails to go over. Okay, let's just end.
All right, peace out, y'all. Bye.